Good morning, and welcome to Simply Economics from Mexico. It's Monday, May 6th. On today's show, Mexicans work more hours, but it is not reflected in their contribution to GDP. Plus, a portrait of Venezuela's economy at the doors of the elections. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Economics from Mexico. We start off with a new report from the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, or OECD, which shows that Mexico leads the world in hours worked per employee. The average Mexican worker puts in 2,137 hours per year, nearly double that of the United States and Canada. But despite all those hours, productivity remains low. For more on this, we turn to our economics correspondent. So what is behind these long hours but low productivity in Mexico?
Well, David, there are a few key factors at play. While Mexicans are putting in extremely long hours at work, often 10 to 12-hour days, simply being present in the office does not necessarily translate to productive output. Experts say this phenomenon, known as presenteeism, is a growing problem. Employees may be at their desks, but due to issues like excessive workloads, stress, burnout, or even a negative work environment, their performance and productivity suffers. Companies are starting to realize that just responding to emails and messages is not true productivity.
And how much of an economic impact is this actually having? What do the productivity numbers show?
The data really highlights the disconnect between hours worked and economic output. For every hour a Mexican employee works, they contribute about $22 to the country's GDP. Compare that to the U.S., where it's $77 per hour worked, or Ireland, where employees work far fewer hours but contribute a whopping $109 to the economy for each hour. So Mexico is leaving a lot of productivity on the table, which over a whole economy really adds up to a major disadvantage.
So if presenteeism and overwork are key issues, what are companies doing to address this? How can they boost productivity?
Many companies, especially in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic and return to offices, are reevaluating their workplace practices. There's growing recognition that protecting employees' mental health and fostering a positive organizational climate is crucial for productivity. Experts advise companies to assess psychosocial risks like stress and burnout and take proactive steps to support employee well-being. This could be measures like more reasonable workloads, wellness resources, and a focus on results rather than just hours clocked. Because at the end of the day, a mentally healthy workforce is a productive workforce.
Important insights on a critical economic issue for Mexico. Thank you to our correspondent for that report. Clearly, long hours don't always equal productive ones, and companies will need to adapt if Mexico hopes to boost its economic efficiency. Speaking of economic challenges in Latin America, Venezuela is gearing up for a crucial presidential election on July 28th, amidst a backdrop of severe hardship. The country has been granted temporary relief from international sanctions in exchange for democratic guarantees around the election, but the impact so far seems limited in a nation where over half the population lives in poverty. For more on the economic situation in Venezuela, we turn to our correspondent in Caracas. Can you give us a sense of how things look on the ground there?
The economic picture remains quite bleak. For the second year in a row, President Nicolas Maduro did not raise the minimum wage on Labor Day, leaving it frozen at just over $3 per month. Instead, the government has focused on increasing social bonuses, but these are widely seen as insufficient. The administration is also pushing a new law that would require businesses, which are already struggling, to contribute to a fund to boost pensioner incomes. This has raised concerns in the private sector.
So despite some easing of international pressure, the government is still having to severely restrict spending in a country facing widespread poverty.
Absolutely. Over 50% of Venezuelans are now living below the poverty line. The economic challenges are the top daily concern for most people and a major driver of emigration. However, the government has launched a major propaganda push to highlight any signs of economic recovery, which they claim will happen with or without a lifting of sanctions.
What does this propaganda campaign look like? How is the government trying to shape perceptions?
they are really trying to amplify any positive economic signals, however small or unrepresentative. For example, there is a lot of focus on the conspicuous consumption of a small wealthy elite, the return of international concerts, luxury stores reopening, hosting of high-profile sporting events. The government is presenting this as evidence of a broad-based economic revival. But critics argue it masks the daily hardships faced by the majority of Venezuelans.
Thank you for that update from Caracas. It's clear the economy will be the defining issue in Venezuela's upcoming election, despite the gap between the government's narrative and the reality most Venezuelans are facing. And that wraps up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Economics from Mexico. We'll see you back here tomorrow.